Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
You got to make up for all those that are away. This is the day, repeat it with me. This is the day the Lord has made. I didn't say sit down. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now say this. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. I will rejoice, and I'll be glad in it. Did you hear the difference in the first round and the second round? The first one was you were trying to repeat after me, make sure you got every word in. The second one was a declaration that this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice in it, and I'm going to be glad in it. It's because you have perfect lives, don't you? No. Nobody in here's got a perfect life, but you have a perfect Savior. And I'd rather go through the storm with a perfect Savior than go into a place of peace that He is not. Did you catch that? I'd rather be with the Savior in the boat with the storm, the winds, pounding the boat. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a lunatic. I don't like storms. I don't like boats rocking. I get very nauseous really easily. Ask Gina. I do. I get very nauseous. But the storm of life, I don't like it. But I know this. If you watch the life of Jesus in those four Gospels, you'll find He was always in somebody's storm. Wasn't He? If it was a blind man, that was His storm. If it was a lame man, that was His storm. If it was a woman with the issue of blood, that was her storm for years. And she was declared unclean in front of the community. Couldn't even go to temple. Couldn't, because she was declared unclean. She was an embarrassment in the culture. But wherever Christ went, He was in their storm. There were people that were hungry. He was in their storm because He brought the food. The disciples tried to say, hey, wait a minute. There's not enough food here. Go tell them to go get a restaurant. Go to a restaurant. We don't have enough food here. And Jesus said, set them down in groups of 50 and start feeding them. He was right in the middle of their storm. In fact, they ran after Him in the middle of their storm. They ran after Him because wherever Jesus was, He would stand up figuratively or physically and say, peace, be still. Father, we're grateful for that. You're a prison-breaking Savior. You're a chain breaker. You take the shackles off of us, and you don't just drop them at our feet. You crush those shackles. You crush those shackles. You don't just let us out of the prison. You take the prison door, and you hurl it as far as east is from the west, never to be remembered. Because sometimes the prison we're in is called guilt from sin, wrong decisions. I'm asking You, Father, today, that as we get into Your Word, that You will so bring a revelation to us of who You are and Your authority. God, we want to deal with Your authority today. You are in charge, Lord God. You are in charge. You are Alpha. You are Omega. You are beginning and You are end. You are truly in charge today. And Father, we want to look at the safety that we can find in God being in charge. In Jesus' name. And every believer said, amen. Are we ready to get into the Word? I am ready. Today we want to talk about who's in charge anyway. Who's in charge anyway? By the way, before I get into this message, those are cool glasses, dude. I'm like a squirrel, you know, it's like in the movie Up. I see something, takes my attention. Okay, squirrel. Okay. By the way, can I just say, it matters that you're here. It matters that you're here. Thank you, Pastor Harvey. You know that more than anybody in this room. You do know that, don't you? It matters that we gather on Sunday mornings. It matters that we are here together. There are many that are away today. That is obvious. There are many. Why? I don't know. But can you call them and you tell them church starts on time next Sunday? And this is the one Sunday that we'll let them get away with saying, I was totally messed, because I was messed up this morning. I went and got Gina up this morning, just so you know. I said, hon, it's 8:25. Well, I'd already set all my clocks forward last night, including my phone, because my phone never moves itself forward. This is the first year that it moved itself forward after I set it forward. So I jumped 2 hours. I went up and Gina, like, got out of that bed. Is Gina in here? Yeah, there she is. And Gina got out of that bed and she said, it's 8:25. You gotta be kidding me. Are you sure? I said, yeah, my clock says, my phone says 8:25. And I set it forward last night. She said, mine just says 7:25. I said, no, it's 8:25, I promise you. And man, she's heading for the shower and she had the gumption. How long has it been since you heard that word? Well, because I don't have a lot of that, but I don't talk about it a lot. But she had the gumption to go downstairs and look at all the other clocks that I set last night. And they all said 7:25. My phone was the only phone that said 8:25. And so her heart rate, well, she was up after that. I want you to know Gina was awake after that moment. It was a great moment. So I want to talk with you this morning. Obviously, this morning, the clock was in charge. And in some cases, because they didn't make it this morning, the clock won. So this is the one Sunday we'll give that to them. But we are so glad that you're here. Thank you for being. It does matter that you're here. Could I ask for just a kind of a thought here. Could you be here at 10:58 next week? I don't ever complain about someone who arrives late because they have children. Believe me, I've been there. I even slept through a service one time when I was teaching. So I don't judge people. I really don't judge people. Honest to goodness. Jim Ohl took my place that Wednesday night. I sat and I woke up in my chair at home. I slept right through it. I was so exhausted, and Jim Ohl just picked it up and taught that Wednesday night. I love Jim. He's a great brother. Be ready. Anyway, just give you a forewarning. I'm getting more tired in my years. So everybody got a bulletin? Everybody got a bulletin? Okay. I want you to open that bulletin to the third page. And what we're going to do over the next several weeks, we're going to start a series. And I'll be teaching some of the series, and I've asked some of the pastoral staff to be a part of teaching this series. These are just spiritual truths that we so embrace and believe are really the foundation of the things you'll hear here at St. Charles River Church. I don't want anyone to, if someone walks up to you and says to you, do you really believe the Bible is perfect? I don't want you to have an unscriptural answer to that. Now, you have to answer honestly. But then that tells you where you stand in relationship to trusting that God is in charge. We're going to look at the first one just today. We're going to launch the series today. And I want you to be able to scripturally be able to back why we teach what we teach here at St. Charles River Church. I'm going to be really completely upfront with you. I give room for people to differ with me. I will always give room for someone who differs with me on a doctrinal issue. But if from my perspective, this is really not a doctrinal issue. This is a God being in charge issue, especially this first one. And so I want to launch this morning this series, the Spiritual Truths series, with this first one. We believe that the Bible is God's Word. It is accurate. It is authoritative. Now, I want you to know, I give room for translations that were inaccurate. But the original writings were perfectly inspired by God. Amen. That's what we believe. They were perfectly inspired by God, the original writings. That's why it's very important that you don't just take my word for it. By the way, the reason Tony in Panama, the Republic of Panama, is serving Christ today. He's actually the worship leader in his church down in Panama. One of the reasons he's there is he said, I'll never forget, Pastor Barry, you made the statement on my first Sunday, don't believe me, go to God's Word. Don't just take for granted that everything I've said is scriptural. Go to God's Word. And you will find the truths. So we believe that the Bible is God's Word. It's not just the printing and the writings of smart men, of good men, and just some kind of a record keeping of the life of Christ. We believe that it's God's Word. It is accurate, authoritative, and applicable to our everyday lives. We believe that it is the perfectly inspired Word of God. Now, I will tell you, the cleanest, I don't adhere to any one translation, but the cleanest translation from the original Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic was the King James Version. So I'm going to surrender that to you immediately. But I will tell you, I use the other translations for purpose of teaching, but I encourage you, don't even trust the King James. If you really want to do a study in what God's Word says, go back and study the Greek for the New Testament and Aramaic, where Jesus was teaching in the Aramaic. It was kind of the English of the day. It was the multicultural. All of them would learn that. It was so that they could understand. It was the business language of the day. Much like English today is the business English or a business language in the world. But if you're studying the Old Testament, you'll want to go back to the original Hebrew. Do some study. It's God's authoritative word, perfectly inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now listen, this is the day and age where people don't want to be told what to do. I said, this is the day and age where people don't want to be told what to do. You don't have to look far. When that baby is born, I will tell you, it didn't take long for Sienna, in Sienna's case, our granddaughter sitting right over here with Gina, it didn't take long for us to figure out she had a will. It just didn't. Because when the food is done, she's passionate about her food. Once she was introduced to flavor beyond the bottle, she became passionate about her food. And when the food is done and she starts banging the plate because it's empty, and she's not getting what she wants, she sails the plate. Now, that's why you don't put anything that's breakable in front of. She's communicating. It's her communication. I want my way. Give me what I want. And Kaysen, when you ask him his question, he's only 3 years old. Gina asked him last week, you want to put on your sweats because we get them every Sunday. I love my life. I love my life. She says, do you want to put on your sweats? We'll go ahead and get your sweats on. No. Well, you want to put on what about your pajamas? Pajamas. That's his way of saying yes. Pajamas. That's what he wants. Why? Because everybody else in the house is wearing pajamas. Kaysen wants to relax like everybody else. He wants to be like Papa. Don't know why, but anyway, he wants to be like Papa. You put his pajamas on. You don't want to see my pajamas. They're about 40 years old. But here's the reality of it. Early in our lives, we display an obstinate this passion to not be told what to do. Last week, Kaysen ran the train into Kristen, or into Kristen. He does it all the time. Into Sienna, he runs his little train into Sienna. Sienna cries, and then Gina tells him, "No, you cannot do that." He buckled down. He doesn't want to hear that word, no. He doesn't want to have an adult. He's only 3. It's so natural. It's such a part. Since the fall of man, we believe in the biblical fall of man, it is such a part of our human nature. Can I tell you something? It was there before the fall. I didn't say the sin was there. I said the ability to make a choice against God. Obviously it happened, didn't it? God said, don't go near that tree. Don't go anywhere near it. And man's will got in the way. God gave man a will. And there is something about a generation that doesn't want to be told what to do. My older brother, when he was in high school, it was against, at Riverview Gardens, that was when we had accreditation. At Riverview Gardens, You couldn't wear a beard. You couldn't have mustache hair. You couldn't have sideburns. You couldn't wear blue jeans to school. I'm not kidding you. In the 1970s, that was Riverview Gardens. You couldn't have hair. You see that hair? That I would have been suspended for 3 days wearing hair that touches the collar. You couldn't have hair. Public school. Couldn't have hair that touched the collar. My brother jumped out second floor windows when he saw the principal coming because he didn't shave that morning. He rebelled and he rebelled and he rebelled because he didn't want to be told what to do. Man doesn't like it when a police officer pulls me over doing 60 in a 35. And they will always give you the best reason from their perspective why it matters that I was going, why I had to go 60 or 65 and a 35. It will be always the best reason for them. And if you were in my shoes, you would understand this and you would, what's the end statement? And you won't write that ticket. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians. This is Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And Paul is writing to this amazing church there at Thessalonica. And he says this, he's talking about his history with them. He says, you are witnesses, verse 10, you are witnesses, so is God. In other words, you saw what God saw, and you didn't see two different things. God saw in private what you saw out in public. God saw it, and you saw it, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. In other words, you saw that I lived, you saw what I lived. God saw what I lived in private. For you know that we dwelt with each of you, or dealt with each of you, as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work within you who believe. This is a living being. The word of God is a living word. From the beginning, when God said, let there be light, the word of God spoke something into existence. The word of God has been with us since the dawn of creation. He existed before the dawn of creation. He's the one that spoke everything in. And the same voice that said, let there be light, is the same voice that says, thou shalt not. The problem is, going back to what I opened with, we don't want to be, the nature of man, we don't want to be told what to do. And it only gets easier, of course, when you're raising teenagers. It only gets easier. You know, seriously, it's a wonderful, it's a dance in the park when you're raising teenagers. I honestly, I'm telling you, the war that goes on within their bodies is amazing. And moms and dads, you catch the havoc. God bless them. Seriously, God bless them. When somebody says, God bless them, they can't help it. That's honestly the truth. Many times they cannot. The battle that's going on within their physical body and within their mental growth, the brain, did you know that the brain still grows up until about the age of 23 to 25. Do you know that the brain still grows? And there is something about, especially in males. Now I'm going to give you an explanation, ladies. Why? I'm going to give you an explanation as to why men seem so thick in their early years to learn something. And here's the reason why. With men, the part of their brain that does the reasoning that says, if I do this, the result will be this, is the slowest part that grows in the brain, and men have the slowest growth. You don't have to shout amen. That's just the way it is. There is something about especially a boy or going through adolescence that doesn't, you've heard the phrase, what were you thinking? Not only weren't they couldn't. Because the part of their brain, you ask the medical industry, you ask the science world, that is the truth. It's the last part to develop in the male brain. The part that says, if I do this, now to follow this, if I do this, bad thing, this bad result will be there. And I said it not long ago, that's why there are parents telling them no, and physically at times restraining them. Sometimes you ground them. Sometimes you keep them home. Sometimes because the judgment has shown that they rebel against freedom. Boy, that sounds like the law, doesn't it? You know, I'm seriously. The law had to be put into place to tell us where our boundaries were. It's called the Word of God. It's the Word of God. But Paul said when he wrote to the church of Thessalonica, I'm just thankful that you receive this as the Word of God and not just as the words of men. I want you to know there are churches today. We bless all churches, by the way. I really do. We bless all churches that are teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We bless them because we believe God has instituted them. He's put them into place, and we believe there's a purpose for that. All of the churches that exist today, I don't get upset. Why are there so many churches? I don't get upset with that. I really don't, because there are churches that actually match personalities and passions and the way they go about worshiping. I totally get that. But there are churches today, and I want you to know this. There's a growing number of churches today that do not believe that this is actually God's Word. That it has the authority to give us instruction for our daily lives. They don't believe it's literal. There are churches that do not believe in the literal translation of scriptures that Noah existed, for example. And in Sunday school, they'll tell the story. This is how they'll say it. We're going to tell you the story of Noah instead of the account of Noah. You see the difference? Because one is a story. One could be hypothetical. But God's Word says that it is the proven Word of God. Let me tell you, Jesus, when he was in the desert, if you go back to scripture, and this is not just my opinion, this is what Jesus said. When he's being tempted in the desert, those days that he was there, one of the things that Satan tempted him with was his authority. You submit to me, and I'll give you all of this, as though he had the authority. He was speaking as though that Satan had the authority to give him something. This is the one that created Lucifer. You all get that? That's the absurdity of that. But he didn't know. How many know that Satan does not know all things? He is not omnipotent. He does not know. He did not know how much really Christ had limited his godship. He didn't know. And he was trying to feel where Christ was in his knowledge of who he really was. He was trying to figure this out. His ministry had just launched. He didn't really know yet. You know something? He doesn't know what your temptation is either. Do you know that? Do you know that Satan watches you and he will allow situations to find out what your weakness is? If somebody's walking along and they drop a wallet, I just happen to believe that's testing ground for our character. Because God's in the moment. We see the wallet, we pick it up. If you think that the enemy is not watching what you do with that wallet, he sees if you're looking through it, thumbing through it, if you run after the owner, or you do everything you can to return it to the owner, or if you put the cash in your pocket and you drop the wallet, he knows. This is something about you. You have a weakness. You have a character weakness. That's what he was doing with Christ. That's what he was doing with Christ. What's his weakness in the desert? So he was tempting him with these things. And one of the statements that Jesus made was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Every word, he said, by every word that God speaks, that's where real life is found. This is the word that has been proven down through the ages. It not only does it still exist as something we read about history, it's the living, breathing word of God. And the words that are here, I've said this many times, it's books of love letters. It's, I love you so much. Don't fall into these traps. I love you so much. Make sure you, when you're with someone, you treat them this way. What did Jesus say? in John chapter 13. He said, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. Jesus, the word of God. Do you know every time God spoke, every time in the history of humanity that God speaks, the second person of the Trinity was the voice of God. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit was the power of God, always represented the power of God, but the voice of God was always the second person, and we know him as, in the human form, as Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he is still living, and he is still breathing, and this statement today that we believe the Bible is God's Word. Who's in charge of your life? Mom and dads, who are in charge of your lives? Because I promise you, one day, if you believe that you are, God will show you that he is the one that is ultimately in charge. You see, one day, and I'm saying this out of love to you because I am the pastor of St. Charles River Church, and there's a warning. There's a time for pastors to give warnings. Do you know that Jesus gave warnings? He actually did. He actually gave warnings about hell. He actually issued hell warnings. There is something about we're all going to decide who's in charge of our lives. We're going to decide who actually gets to tell me what to do. And there are three voices. There are three voices. There is the enemy's voice that is always tempting you, just like Jesus was tempted by him in the desert. And your character is tested by the enemy. Now, I want you to know, again, that was what I said. He doesn't know what you're going to do, but he knows what you've done. But there's always those three voices. There's the enemy's voice. There's God's voice, and we already have God's voice called the Bible. It is God's authoritative word. Can I tell you, the third voice is my own voice. You see, I have a say in this. Satan just throws the temptation out there. In the garden, Grandpa Eve and Grandpa Adam, they were listening to the voice of the enemy that throws the temptation out there. There was no one making them do it. And in spite of what Flip Wilson said, the devil couldn't make him do it. You don't, some of you not old enough to remember that. Devil couldn't make you do it. You remember Flip? Okay. He cannot make you do it, but he can serve up this platter that looks so good. Can I tell you? God served up a platter 2,000 years ago. It's called the Son of the Living God, and it's called mercy. It's called mercy. It's called mercy. It's real mercy. Were there ever those times where you knew you'd blown it so badly, there was no way to make it right? There just was no way to make it right. And God showed you mercy. It'll bring you to your knees. I've told the story, and I will tell it again right now because I have 9 minutes. It'll take me about that long to tell it. My mom was a unique person. But I'll never forget that courtroom. I've told some of you have never heard this story. My older brother was killed by a drunk driver in 1987. It was his 28th birthday. He was celebrating with his fiancée down at Elephant Rock Park. The driver was arrested, taken into custody. BJ died that day. Speed up 2 years. We went to court. It's at the Steelville County Courthouse. It's the county seat for that county. And we were all of the Ivies, all of us walked in. And we were all standing on the prosecution side, and in walks an attorney and a gentleman probably 30, 32 years of age, something like that. And this was the gentleman that killed my brother. He's out on bond from his third DWI, by the way. He almost killed his brother the year before. And so he's facing this tragic future. The prosecuting attorney looked at us and he said, "You see this entire courtroom? It was gorgeous. Woodwork was gorgeous. All redone." He said, I'll just call him Eddie. Eddie did that over the last 2 years of incarceration in Steelville County Jail. "You're kidding." He said, "No, it's a wasted talent. He's a finisher, a wood finisher." It was magnificent, John. You could really appreciate it. My mom observed something. My mom looked across the room and she looked at me. She said, he was all alone. There was nobody on that side. My mom looked at me. She said, "He doesn't even have a mother that would sit with him." And I said, "What do you mean? He doesn't have a mother that'll sit with him. Go ask the judge if I can sit with him." And that's the first time I really saw mercy. That's the first time in my life I realized what a real picture of mercy was. the man that killed her son, she wanted to go sit next to so he wouldn't be alone in that court. You see, God served up this platter called mercy. The enemy serves up a platter that looks amazing. But God serves through His Word this platter of righteousness and righteous living and godliness. And there's a denying of ourselves through that. But where God says, thou shalt not, we need to run to that instead of running from that. Because He actually, through mercy and through grace, is allowing us to run away from it. But there will come a day, here's the warning, there will come a day where we're going to hear two different things. All of us are going to hear one of two things when it's all said and done. We're going to hear, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Or we're going to hear, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And now that's what God says. That's what God's Word says. And you have to decide, and I'm not going to judge you if you decide differently than me. I'm really not. I'm not angry with you about it. I'm not frustrated with you about it. But somewhere along the line, we all have to make a decision. Do we actually believe God has the right as my Creator, as the one who gave me my last breath, the breath I just took? Does He have the right to actually tell me what to do through His Word? We have to make that decision. Now, let me deal with the obvious argument today. Well, people say it's written by man, and that means it's at least a percentage wrong. See, I actually believe that argues then the other way. I actually believe if you believe that, it argues for, then don't get any further away from it than it really is. It actually says, run to it and hold on to it. You know, I had a person tell me, I think it's at least 7% wrong. And I don't know where they got their number, but they said, I think it's at least 7% wrong. I said, so you can afford to get another 2 points away from what is right? I mean, seriously, that means your own judgment, which it's, if you think it's already flawed, are y'all with me in the argument? If you think it's already flawed, it's the argument to run closer to it, because I can't afford to get more wrong. Do you understand that? So when somebody says, well, it's not perfect, well, neither's your wife, but you didn't leave her, did you? Neither is your husband. You didn't leave him, did you? Should have flipped it the other way around. None of us are perfect, but we run to the commitment that we make. And that's what God's Word says. We are the bride of Christ. Let's run to our groom. Let's find safety in his love letters that He writes to us. Let's find instruction. That's what the Word says. It is right for instruction. Let me just read it to you one more time. I'm going to take it back here to Thessalonians here. I don't know if I'll get there in time or not. No, I'm not going to do it. But listen, because I'm watching a clock there. Listen, God's Word is the authoritative, is what we believe. God's Word is the authoritative. It is accurate. It is correct. And it's proven to be the Word that brings instruction to our lives every day. I cannot tell you how many, when people say, I used to hear people argue this all the time. Well, you can't legislate morality. We do all the time. We do. We legislate morality all the time. Why do you think it's against the law to steal in our communities? Why do you think that police officers are called in the middle of the night after a break-in to somebody's home and they actually go and arrest the person who stole something? Because there are morals that are set that are founded, the origin of them are found in God's Word. Did you know that? So somewhere along the line, we all have to make a decision that we believe that God's Word is authoritative and it is right for me to find instruction and correction. And can I tell you something? When God corrects us through His Word, when you get into His Word, I've actually had people come to me through the years, and I've actually had to do this too with other individuals, where you go to someone and say, I was wrong. According to God's Word, when I did this, I was actually wrong. I have to ask you to forgive me. Do you know the healing that takes place in that relationship? When you actually go to someone and say, you know, I was reading in God's Word. It's an amazing thing, the healing that takes place. I had a guy come to me one time that said, you know what? You know, seriously, it's in God's Word. I'm not supposed to be living with my girlfriend. And I said, I know. What are you going to do about that? Well, I guess I better do something right about it. I said, exactly. And when God brings that, this revelation came to him, there's a right way to do a relationship with a woman. and or with a man, if you happen to be a female listening to me. There is right way, and it was freedom to him. It brought such an excitement to him. Well, I want to marry her. I said, how soon? It takes 3 days to get a marriage license. Do you believe she is the woman God put in your life? Oh, yeah, she is the woman. Okay, that's good. Let's get this thing done. Let's follow the plan of God. Because I want to tell you something. The further we get away from the plan of God, we'll be right where the enemy wants us. We will be struggling in our walk with God. We'll be struggling in our relationship with our spouses, our families, and those around us. But we can always go back to the source and find out what God's plan is for our lives. Stand up with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. Thank you for the truth of God's word. Thank you that your word is the living, breathing word of God. Not just words of men, as Paul wrote in Thessalonians, but that your word is actually security to us. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word warns me of things. Your word warns me about people who behave certain ways. Your word warns me about me behaving certain ways. Your word tells me how good you are and how much you love me and the security of being found right according to your word. So, Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you would so bring that revelation to us that you are in charge and that your word can be trusted. In Jesus' name, every believer said, amen. God bless you. You give the Lord a hand, guys, and then have a seat.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.